This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. In the last days, a bombshell move in the case of the so-called real estate bros, three brothers rolling in money charged with sex trafficking and rape. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. In the last days, a federal judge throws out real estate moguls Tal Orrin and Elon Alexander raped a woman, was thrown out. Joining us, Lauren Conlon, investigative reporter, host of Pop Crime TV. Lauren, thank you for being with us. What's that all about?
While highlighting inconsistencies in witness testimony, in a significant development, prosecutors have indicated that they plan to drop counts 6 and 7 of the indictment. These are two standalone sex trafficking charges that each carry a mandatory minimum sentence of 15 years if convicted. However, it remains unclear why prosecutors are seeking to dismiss those counts. Defense attorneys have suggested the move reflects weaknesses in the government's case and alibis that the brothers have, while prosecutors have characterized this as a strategic legal decision, noting that allegedly an investigator for the defense had intimidated witness number 4 by going to her neighbor's home and asking about her minor children. The dismissal is not yet final and must be formally approved by U.S. District Judge Valerie Caproni. The trial itself has also faced disruptions. One juror was dismissed after admitting he had already formed an opinion about the defendant's innocence before deliberations, leaving only one alternate juror remaining. To secure these convictions on the remaining charges, prosecutors must prove the brothers used force, fraud, or coercion to compel women into sex acts, and the prosecution has really focused on drugs as a coercion element. This is the legal standard at the heart of federal sex trafficking laws. With prosecutors again signaling their case could conclude imminently, the focus will soon shift to the defense and ultimately the jury, who must decide whether the once celebrated real estate moguls are guilty of orchestrating what the prosecution describes as a years-long scheme of sexual exploitation.
What is at the heart of the allegations against the so-called real estate bros?
A trio of brothers, luxury real estate agents to the super rich, indicted on federal sex trafficking and battery charges. Claims go back more than a decade.
Claims going back more than a decade. Try two decades. Now, 40 women that we know of claiming these filthy rich real estate moguls took part in rape after rape after systematic rape, and that the allegations go back to when they were in high school. All that money, all that privilege and education has bought them a one-way ticket to hell with a pit stop in the federal penitentiary. That's my prediction, but I want you to hear what Damian Williams, the U.S. attorney, has to say.
The Alexander brothers and other men they planned the trips with paid for the flights or accommodations for the women on these trips. And at times, the defendants handpicked the women to invite. At other times, they used paid party promoters to source women for them. The indictment also alleges that in advance of these events, the Alexander brothers and others procured drugs that they agreed to provide to the women, including cocaine, mushrooms, and GHB. As we allege, these drugs caused some of the women to be physically unable to fight back or to escape.
Now you know why they're calling it the new Diddy, or should I say the new Diddies? Now, that's what the U.S. attorney is saying, for the U.S. attorney for the Southern District, but I want you to look at Orrin Alexander on The Founder.
Having the ability to work with my brother, to have a partner with your brother. Now just think about that for a second. The biggest issue you have in partnership is trust and knowing that you don't have to worry.
Honey, you got something to worry about now. What if your brother flips on you and testifies against you? Let's just analyze what we just heard. And that's where our friends at From The Founder on YouTube. That's Orrin Alexander, one of the, and I mean filthy rich, rolling in money. That's Orrin Alexander. Quote, having the ability to work with my brother, to have a partner who's your brother. You know, just think about that for a second. Don't worry, I'm thinking about it. The biggest issue you have in partnership is trust and knowing you don't have to worry. Okay. What happened? With me, an all-star panel. Let's get to it. Straight out to Christina Aguayo, joining us, national news anchor, Salem News Channel. Christina, thank you for being with us. I'm really curious about how much money these two have. And this goes all the way back. Their family is wealthy. Their grandfather wealthy, blah, 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 blah. Kind of like Luigi Mangione, just all that money, two silver spoons in the mouth. And yet, this. What happened, Christina?
You know, actually, I think it started way back when they were in high school, as people are now starting to come out and say that they actually had a sex van that was parked in front of their parents' $40 million beachfront estate, where the boys, the brothers in high school, would take women to have sex in that bus in front of their parents' house. So this has been behavior that has been encouraged, perhaps, by their parents all the way through. Then you add the hundreds of millions of dollars and properties that these brothers have sold and the security business. And they're pretty much running around town doing anything that they want, including, according to prosecutors, drugging women, raping women. Each brother has separately been accused of at least 10 rapes, 10 forcible rapes by women. And prosecutors are saying
hey,
that.
Hey, Christina Aguayo, hold on. Wait a minute. We were just looking at them. Karen Stark, why is it so hard for people to believe that super wealthy, college educated, great job guys can commit heinous crimes? That's what he posted on his own Facebook. Go ahead.
Well, I really believe, Nancy, when people see this outward appearance, they're dressed so well, they look so terrific, that they buy that they believe that that's what they're really like. And they have no idea what's going on behind the scene. And actually, the fact that he says he trusts his brother, I was thinking, yeah, they trust, all of them trust each other in supporting the crimes that they committed, which made it even worse because they were encouraged.
Nima Romani is joining us, high-profile lawyer out of the California jurisdiction and, for my purposes, former federal prosecutor, president of the West Coast Trial Lawyers, and author of Harvard to Hashtag. Nima, thank you for being with us. Many people not familiar with our world of crime would say, hey, why do they have to rape women with good looks? Of course, they're not attractive to me. I think they look like Satan himself. But with good looks and all that money, they could get any woman they want. So why rape a woman? That kind of argument has actually worked on juries before, Nima.
It has, but Nancy, this isn't just having sex with women. We're talking about drug-induced orgies, right? Where multiple men, including the two brothers, are allegedly having sex with the same woman. So yeah, women might want to have sex with a handsome, wealthy man, but not get in a situation where they're having an orgy and they are being violated by multiple men.
You're speaking sense to me. Yes, I know that. That's my point, Nima. I'm like two steps beyond that. Of course, what you just said is right. What I'm saying is it would be argued to a jury, just look at them. Why would they have to source women with a PR person? In other words, basically pimp for the brothers, because they could get any woman they want. Therefore, ergo, they're innocent.
It's not just any woman, Nancy. They need new women every single night. And they want to do things to these women that a lot of women wouldn't consent to. Now, obviously, this is a family show, so I'm not going to get into all that. But that's why they're using drugs like GHB to drug these women so they can't say no. That's what this is all about. And it's a tale as old as time. Doesn't matter if it's the Alexander brothers, Diddy, Abercrombie, CEO.
I can see that I'm clearly... I think you and I have a communication problem because you're just basically saying everything that I say. Lynn Shaw, help me out here. Founder, executive director, Lynn's Warriors, committed to ending sex attacks on children and women. Lynn Shaw, I'm trying to make the point that the argument will be made by the defense. I already know the facts as presented by the state. Everything that Romani just said. I get it. I've read the indictment. Okay. the defense is going to argue at trial they don't need to rape women. They can get any woman they want. Therefore, this is consensual. That's BS. It's argued in so many rape cases.
I call them the Alexander Brothers crime family, and I call these dirty ditty complicit wannabes. Listen, the egos are so big, they're out of control. Again, this is the same story we heard with Diddy and others facing charges like this, that so many vulnerable girls and women, I'm going to throw in the girls again. I wish we could get down to, were there any minors involved? But that'll unfold at some point. They want to see and live this lifestyle. Many of these women were approached online, complete strangers. And they said, we'll fly you out. We'll give you hotels. We'll give you parties. We'll give you clothes. And vulnerable people, girls especially, really want to experience this. I'm here to say, if this case can help us educate the general public, because we're hearing about all these, you know, Dirty Diddy, we're hearing about Tate Brothers, we're hearing about Jeffrey Epstein, we're hearing about now these criminal Alexander Brothers. If it could water down eventually, my hope is, to everyday cases that are happening that nobody will ever hear those victims or see those victims, so we can educate everybody. When they offer you something like this, this lifestyle for free, they're going to fly you somewhere, run in the other direction. This is, again, their powers, their money, their egos, their homes, overtaking people's common sense. We have to do better educating the public, girls and women, about all of this.
Their family wealth has been estimated. Correct me if I'm wrong. Christina Aguayo joining me from Salem News Channel. Over $115 million.
Correct. And I'm sure that's even more than that, as the parents have offered to put up to $1 billion to get their three boys out of prison, out on bail. They've even offered to put them up in a second story apartment complex for their jail time pretrial that has no beachfront, that has no luxury, that's, you know, guarded 24/7 by guards.
Wait. Christina, wait. Did you say the parents want to get them out of jail on a billion, as in brother, yep, B brother, $1 billion bail, and the jail is because they don't have a beach view?
Yes. They won't have a waterfront view. They won't have any orgies, and it won't be luxury. So that's what they're considering to be jail. And yes, up to $1 billion with a B is what they're willing to put up to get their three sons out of prison.
Bill Daly, it's the Diddies. It's the new Diddies, because all the money, the procuring the women, making other people be your hench person to bring women to you, to drug them and rape them. Those are the allegations. They're presumed innocent. But also, it's Luigi Mangione all over again. Here is a rich brat kid whining about how us common people have to live with the healthcare industry while he's in a beachfront Hawaii luxury high-rise condo. His great-grandparents and grandparents broke their backs coming to this country and becoming millionaires, working up from nothing, passing it down so Luigi Mangione could whine in his luxury condo. These two, same thing, Bill.
Yeah, and in this case, they've actually built their business. So they built their brand. They now feel omnipotent. I mean, they have money. They're traveling with celebrities. They're flying on private jets. You know, they're selling these huge multi-million dollar properties. They're getting headlines in all kinds of media, including their own real estate empire. So, you know, these are paper people. If I put a profile around them, not an FBI profile, but I know enough of them to speak about how these people can become emboldened, emblazoned. It's both feeding the ego as well as also just their ability to control things. So they like to be able to control everything, whether it's the deal or people.
Guess what I got? A superseding indictment. I bet that's making Nima Romani just clench. Because when you see the feds have a superseding indictment, this is for conspiracy to commit sex trafficking on these rich brats, that means, hey, we had one go at you, but we're not through. We're issuing a revised, a new and improved indictment with more charges. It supersedes the previous indictment. Yeah, they may be rolling in money, but apparently the feds don't care. So exactly who are the so-called real estate bros?
There are three Alexander brothers. Two of the brothers are twins, Oren and Alon. Their elder brother, Tal. Tal and Oren Alexander are known in the world of high-priced real estate, having brokered a $49 million deal for their dad in 2012 and a $240 million deal for a Manhattan condo sale in 2019. While Oren's twin brother, Alon, attended law school before joining the family's private security company, Kent Security.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
The so-called Realty Brothers, the Alexander Brothers, prosecutors say the brothers use their status, their prestige, their money, their wealth to lure, to drug, and sex assault going back two decades all the way to high school. Wow. Lauren Conlon, investigative reporter, host of Pop Crime TV. Lauren, thank you for being with us. What do you believe was the grounds?
Federal prosecutors say they could wrap their case as soon as Monday in the explosive sex trafficking trial of disgraced luxury real estate brothers Tal, Oren, and Alon Alexander, as jurors continue hearing disturbing allegations of alleged drugging, coercion, and sexual assault spanning more than a decade. The brothers, once high-profile figures in New York and Miami's elite real estate circles, are accused of using their wealth, influence, and social access to lure women into situations where prosecutors say they were drugged or sexually assaulted in locations including New York City, the Hamptons, and Aspen, Colorado.
Okay, what do we know?
In a $50 million Upper East Side townhouse, the Alexander twins, Oren and Alon, celebrate their 28th birthday. Celebrants are greeted by a nearly naked woman on display as a toy for the rich and famous to play with, as they take turns dripping hot wax on the woman, setting the tone for the decadent night that awaits those who are rich enough and or famous enough to be invited to the Alexander twins' birthday bash.
What am I hearing? Wait a minute. A $50 million Upper East Side townhouse. The real estate bros celebrate their 28th birthday. Celebrants greeted by a nearly naked woman on display as a toy for the rich and famous to play with as they take turns dripping hot wax on her. Deja vu, huh? Does this remind you of anything? Hi, Diddy. There you are. Nothing like eating sushi off a naked lady on display for the rich and famous. I mean, it's like an echo chamber in here. Well, guess what? The feds, apparently, in this case anyway, don't care how rich you are or whether you're eating sushi off a naked lady at a luxury party or you have her on display so rich people can drip wax on her. Listen to the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York.
The Alexander brothers, sometimes acting alone, sometimes with each other, and sometimes with other men, forcibly raped and assaulted the women. As the indictment alleges, the Alexander brothers' sex trafficking agreement went beyond the planned trips and events. On numerous occasions, one or more of the defendants drugged and raped or sexually assaulted women they encountered by chance at bars, at nightclubs, social events, and dating apps. These assaults allegedly had many of the same hallmarks as the rapes that occurred at group events: isolated locations, drugged victims, force, and physical restraint.
It's really a lot to take in. You know, very often as a former prosecutor, prosecuting nothing but violent felonies, I would catch myself wondering why. For instance, why not just date a woman and have a relationship and have sex with her and not drug anybody and rape and sodomize them in a party setting with a lot of guys standing around? But then I realized about 5 years into that kind of thinking, why? Ask why. It doesn't matter. I had one job: to seek the truth. Who did what, where, when, and why? Why? Not so much. To Karen Stark, renowned psychologist joining us. Karen, it's not about sex. That's a simple answer for me. Why don't the real estate bros with all their money and all their high rises just go date somebody and have a sex life? It's not about the sex. What is it?
It's a perversion, Nancy. They're getting off on raping, sodomizing. A normal relationship, the kind that you're referring to, does not excite them. They have gotten used to this kind of rape and violence since they were in high school. And this is what gets them excited, nothing else.
Talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing. These wild, extravagant parties that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars were not parties at all. They were just a ruse to find sex assault victims for the new ditties. Listen.
The fabulous parties with fabulous people might have been a cover for something sinister, pre-planned by the Alexander brothers. Each of the three brothers has been accused of forcible rape by at least 10 women. All three indicted on federal charges of sex trafficking, while the twins, Oren and Alon, are charged with sexual battery in Florida. The Alexanders have denied the allegations in the civil cases, and their reps have previously gone so far as to suggest the accusers were trying to shake down the brothers.
Second verse, same as the first. Do I have to say deja vu all over again? Why the real estate bros are called the new ditties? Same thing. Now, they called it fabulous parties. Diddy calls it freak-offs.
Combs allegedly planned and controlled the sex performances, which he called freak-offs. And he often electronically recorded them. The freak-offs sometimes lasted days at a time, involved multiple commercial sex workers, and often involved a variety of narcotics, such as ketamine, ecstasy, and GHB, which Combs distributed to the victims to keep them obedient and compliant. As alleged, when Combs didn't get his way, he was violent, and he subjected victims to physical, emotional, and verbal abuse so that they would participate in the freak-offs.
To Christina Aguayo, joining us, investigative reporter and news anchor, the comparison between the real estate bros and Diddy are inescapable.
They are. They both are basically using their power and influence to allegedly drug and rape women. However, the brothers have been doing this, I think, longer than Diddy, all the way tracing back to high school. I think they were encouraged to do it with their lifestyle. And they have been described as being very aggressive, very bullish, very attackive when it comes to working in business. And also you have people from their high school years who are coming forward saying that they did it in high school and people were scared. Everybody in the community was scared to speak out because they had so much power. They had so much prominence because they had so much influence. And the same goes for Diddy. He has so much power and so much money. People don't want to talk out against him. People are scared that their careers are going to be ruined, that they're never going to be let back into the music industry, that they'll be blacklisted from certain events. And I think the same is true for the brothers.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
The so-called realty bros, the three men, have pled not guilty to initial charges and back in a Manhattan courtroom. It all started when they were arrested in Florida, and it shook up the high-end real estate industry and led to the downfall of Oren Alexander, now 37, Tal Alexander, 38. Those two were the so-called real estate royalty. In fact, Oren and Tal Alexander helped broker the sale of a $240 million Manhattan penthouse. Wow. Then they co-founded their own real estate brokerage company called Official. Now, Alon Alexander, 37, the other brother, the other twin, did not work in real estate, but he socialized with the two brothers, I guess just enough to get to catch a little sex trafficking charge. Okay, what do we know?
First witness in the sex trafficking trial involving three brothers, two of whom are prominent real estate brokers, recounted her harrowing experience on Tuesday. The excitement of attending a party at actor Zac Efron's apartment swiftly turned into a nightmare when hours later, one of the brothers assaulted her in their residence, taunting her throughout the ordeal. The woman who spoke under a fictitious name is among several alleged victims slated to testify against Tal, Oren, and Alon Alexander, who face accusations of drugging and raping women and girls over several years. Defense attorneys for the brothers assert that the encounters were consensual. Prosecutors allege that the Alexander brothers exploited their connections to wealthy and influential people to entice multiple victims. The witness explained that she was just 20 years old and studying anthropology when she met two of the brothers at a party at Efron's New York City apartment. She had accompanied a friend who had recently befriended Tal Alexander, who invited them to watch the final game of the 2012 NBA Finals. She noted that their interaction with Efron was minimal, as he is not implicated in any wrongdoing. After the game, she attended an after party at a Manhattan nightclub where she accepted a drink and lost consciousness. She later woke up in a different apartment, naked, with Alon Alexander standing over her, also unclothed. Despite her attempts to rise, he repeatedly pushed her back down, leading her to declare, "I don't want to have sex with you." She said he laughed and responded, "You already did." She recounted how he then forced himself on her during the assault. Tal Alexander briefly entered the room but did not intervene, leaving her feeling that he was, quote, super nonchalant about the whole thing. Assistant U.S. Attorney Madison Smyers, in her opening remarks to the jury, described the Alexander brothers as perpetrators masquerading as party boys. She stated that they employed various tactics, including luxury accommodations, flights, drugs, alcohol, and sometimes physical force to manipulate women into compromising situations. Defense attorney Tini Garagos, representing Oren Alexander, urged the jury to dismiss the prosecution's monstrous story. Garagos portrayed the brothers who graduated from college in 2008 as ambitious and occasionally arrogant young men navigating the nightlife scene in search of romantic encounters, arguing that while their behavior may seem immoral, it is not criminal. She suggested that some accusers were pursuing lawsuits for financial gain and only labeled themselves as victims after regretting their choices, such as using illegal drugs or engaging in sexual activities outside their current relationships. Attorney Deanna Paul, representing Tal Alexander, cautioned the jury that the trial's subject matter could be distressing, likened it to an R-rated movie, and emphasizing the prosecution's portrayal of the brothers as, quote, monsters. In a courtroom sketch, the three brothers, Alon, Oren, and Tal Alexander, were seen in Manhattan federal court on the opening day of trial, January 27. Tal and Oren Alexander specialized in high-end real estate in cities like Miami, New York, and L.A., while their brother Alon earned a law degree and managed the family's private security business. Tal is 39. The twins, Alon and Oren, are 38. The indictment claims the men conspired to lure women to vacation spots like the Hamptons by offering flights and luxurious accommodations. Since their arrest in Miami in December of 2024, the brothers have been held without bail. During her testimony on Tuesday, the first witness described how she escaped the room where Alon Alexander had attacked her after he fell asleep. Despite the emotional weight of her testimony, she maintained her composure for the most part, though she became visibly upset at times, particularly when she reflected on reaching out to a friend years later after the incident to remind herself that she was still loved.
This week, an FBI special agent presented jurors with detailed charts showing years of emails and text messages prosecutors argue reveal patterns of coordination and planning among the brothers dating back to 2009. One accuser, identified in court as victim 20, testified that she met Oren Alexander during a ski trip in Aspen and soon became heavily intoxicated after drinking champagne with him and his brother Tal. She told jurors that she regained partial awareness to find Oren on top of her, and then she felt confused, sore, and humiliated the next day. She also testified she later learned that she had contracted chlamydia from Oren. Defense attorneys, however, have aggressively challenged the credibility of accusers, pointing to flirtatious messages, gaps in memory, and continued contact with the brothers after the alleged assaults. The defense has argued these interactions were consensual.
While highlighting inconsistencies in witness testimony,
the Alexander brothers, the so-called real estate bros, rolling in money, also called the new ditties. All of their trouble started, well, it really started all the way back in high school when they're accused of sex assaulting women all the way back then. But the current day problems, i.e. their rape charges, all started when one woman spoke out. According to prosecutors, the rapes and sex assaults had been going on for years and years and years until this woman spoke out. Listen.
The Alexander Brothers' fall from grace begins when The Real Deal reports on damning lawsuits brought by alleged victims Kay Wyman and Rebecca Mandel. Wyman alleges the brothers abducted her in 2012 and brought her to a Hamptons party palace in Watermill, Long Island, where the brothers allegedly dragged her into a large bedroom where she was sexually assaulted, abused, raped, pinned, groped, harassed, battered, and fondled by Alon and Oren Alexander.
Isn't it amazing, Lynn Shaw joining us from Lynn's Warriors, how it only takes one person to stand up and be counted, one person to speak out, even though they may be afraid, for the whole house of cards to fall down.
Yeah, but we have to educate everybody that we will give you safety. We will give you guardrails. We will stand next to you. That is what I'm hoping all of these dirty ditties and this Alexander Brothers crime family will bring more public awareness. Again, watering down to, you know, maybe that teen that lives in the Bronx or something like that, that they can come forward. We will take care of them. But I want to point something out. There is so much video evidence here. And I want to go back to what happened with all those videos where they uploaded to porn sites? Was there millions of dollars? Because we do a lot of work with this.
Well, wait a minute, Lynn Shaw. Hold on. You're exactly right. Straight out to Christina Wayo joining us, news anchor and investigative reporter. What are these so-called trophies of the real estate bros that have just been revealed?
Yes. Well, it's one thing to have a witness testimony, right? But it's an entirely different situation when you have video evidence, as we just saw with the Cassie and Diddy situation. Prosecutors and investigators raided Tal Alexander's Manhattan apartment, and they found a hard drive filled with pictures and videos. They're saying in these videos, of course, there's the quote unquote orgies or the sessions where alleged rape is happening. They are saying that women can be seen highly intoxicated on alcohol or maybe even drugged. They're saying they're seeing in these videos where the brothers are physically manipulating these women's bodies to have sex with them. And most of the time, they're saying these women do not know they're being recorded. There's this one incident that they explain that a woman and a man are having sex in a stall and another person is recording over the stall with a camera. And when the woman sees it, she protests. She says no. So it's going to be pretty difficult. For whatever reason they kept these videos or they have these videos, it's going to be difficult to defend this in court.
Christina, you stated that one of the videos was taken over a stall. What?
Yep. So a man and a woman were having sex. It didn't detail if that was forced rape. It didn't detail what that was exactly. But there is a third person who is holding a video camera up over the bathroom stall where the woman and man are inside of that stall having sex. And the woman sees the camera. She tells them to stop and they don't stop. And that's what prosecutors are saying. They're not listening to these women. They're manipulating their bodies and they won't stop when the women are asking them to stop.
Trophies. Trophies to Nima Romani joining us, former federal prosecutor, president of West Coast Trial Lawyers, author of Harvard to Hashtags. Nima, trophies have been the undoing of so many criminals. Explain.
Oh, it's great evidence if you're a prosecutor, because people can lie. Criminal defendants lie all the time. Even witnesses and victims can sometimes lie, but video doesn't lie. And when you have video of these sex acts, that is the best evidence when you're a prosecutor, because really there's only two defenses in any sex trafficking case. Either the sexual activity didn't happen or it was consensual. That's it, Nancy. And once you have that video, it certainly takes away the first defense. And then when women are being drugged, it takes away the second as well. And there's really two reasons why people record these sex acts. The first is their own deviant sexual pleasure. And I think that's probably why Diddy was recording his freak-offs. But there's a second reason. And that is to have control over the victims, potentially blackmail them and say, hey, if you come after me, I'm going to leak these videos.
Christina Wayo, isn't it true that these videos were pulled off of a hard drive that was found hidden in a closet during a federal search.
Yes, in Tall Alexander's Manhattan apartment. So they were really searching. They had the warrant to go through everything, and he kept them. He kept them on a hard drive. And it's not just videos, it's pictures as well. And it goes to show that, just like he said, men lie, women lie, witnesses lie, perhaps, but the video is not going to lie. And this is pretty tough evidence. However, the defense is already saying this doesn't prove anything. This doesn't prove a commercial act. This doesn't prove that they were drugged. It may prove that they're intoxicated, but he's saying, oh, these are just big orgies. Everybody was willing and there is nothing going on here. So next story, please.
You know, it reminds me in the last few days, Sean Combs, a.k.a. Diddy's defense team, has stated they want the freak-off videos to be made public because it, quote, proves his innocence. Okay, sure. You know, another thing, if it's so innocent, why was it hidden in a closet? But thinking about the videos, the trophies pulled from a hard drive in the real estate bro's closet, it reminds me of a certain raid that went down on Sean Combs' mansion. In that case as well, Bill Daley, former FBI, trophies, quote, trophies were obtained. During that raid, Bill Daley, video equipment was reportedly discovered, along with over 1,000 bottles of lubricant baby oil. Trophies have been the bane of many criminals' existence. Why trophies?
Well, you know, and as if you go to other kind of repeat offenders, repeat criminals, such as Dennis Rader, the bind, torture, kill fiend, you know, they either keep pieces of clothing, they keep something to remind them, something that's going to get them excited, something's going to, you know, make them remember how wonderful it was that they controlled this person, that they did what they did. And so for all these things, it's some
type of... Why are you putting perfume on the pig daily? That's not like you. The souvenirs, the trophies, quote, get them excited. You mean give them an erection?
Well, you know, that as well as sharing it among other people. Being able to, in some cases, they like to share it because they've had this experience with other people. They keep it. They look at themselves. You know, there may be other people. They let them see that. That all kind of gives them a sense of control. It goes back to that essence of controlling individuals, controlling their environment, doing what they want to do, using that leverage over people. You know, in this case, Nancy, and a very interesting point that came up, which is similar to what we've seen in other cases, is that as the FBI was investigating this, reports are coming out that multiple victims have the same stories. Again, people who've been not connected, not there at the same place, same time, but have the same story to tell. All of that is extremely, and is part of what I believe the FBI is, and the U.S. Attorney's Office is making their case out of, is that they have statements, and I would encourage people.
You know, I'm very curious, Bill Daley. I think this goes beyond your or my kin, colloquial for understanding. Joining me, psychologist Karen Stark. Everything Bill Daley said is correct, but what is the reason, the mental or the psychological reason that people like Dennis Rader, or in this case, the real estate bros, also called the rape bros, but those are just accusations, why keep all these videos? They're damning.
It's a wonderful way for them to relive the crime, Nancy. And whatever got them off when they were doing it, whatever got them excited and gave them erections and orgasms, they can do that all over again repeatedly because they have these trophies. It's great if it's a video, but it can be an earring. It could be a necklace. It could be a piece of clothing. It doesn't matter. They wind up reliving the excitement that they felt at the time and how much they controlled the situation.
For years, the Alexander brothers, sometimes with others, also arranged domestic and international trips to carry out their sex trafficking scheme. To recruit and induce women to come on the trips, they provided material benefits, things like travel to vacation destinations, luxury accommodations, and access to other high-end experiences.
Are the claims true? Should I believe the real estate bros? Or should I believe all of the women now coming forward, some of them named in federal indictments, others filing civil suits? What's very hard for many people to understand, including myself, is how the real estate bros acted how they faked a happy home life. Listen.
The Alexander brothers are all married now. Alon married Shani Zigrin, with whom he has two children, in May of 2020. Oren married model Camilla Hansen in April 2023. And Tall married Ariel Kogut in October of 2023. Oren pleaded with the judge to let him out as his wife was pregnant and due any day. His request was denied.
That's something the baby can say as it grows up. Dad was in jail on rape charges when I was born. This whole facade of a happy family, again, it's Diddy Redu. Listen.
Say hey, Chance.
Be happy birthday to mommy.
We love you.
Chance is right here, too, if you can hear. On the phone. One more time.
To veteran trial lawyer, former felony prosecutor Nima Romani. Nima, it would not be the first time a so-called family man was ultimately convicted of repeat offenses. I mean, there's Dennis Rader that Bill Daly brought up earlier, who would sex assault and kill so many women, and including young girls, on his dog-catching route. The whole time he had a family at home and he was a deacon in the church. Then you've got Gacy, John Wayne Gacy, who would go to children's birthday parties to entertain the children dressed as a clown. I don't know how many boys' bodies were pulled out of his crawl space. Then you got Ted Bundy, who seemingly was a successful law school student. He's a serial killer. He goes on and on. And, oh, do I have to say Rex Huerman, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, the architect by day, serial killer by night, with a wife and two children?
Nancy and Huerman's wife actually saw some of these sex acts, at least allegedly, so it's a question of what she knew. But this is criminal defense lawyering 101. They want to show the jurors that the defendant has family support. That's why you see Diddy's family at every single appearance. That's why I fully expect the Alexander brothers to have their parents, the wives who haven't filed divorce, to be at those court proceedings, because that's what jurors expect. They want to see the family members supporting the folks who are accused and are on trial.
And like Diddy, the new Diddies have a fantastical scheme of how they're going to stay out of MDC, Metropolitan Detention Center. Listen.
In a crazy bid to keep their boys out of incarceration, the parents of the Alexander brothers have offered to provide private imprisonment. In a real proposal to authorities, Shlomo and Orly Alexander proposed confining the brothers to a two-bedroom apartment on the eighth floor of a Miami building, emphasizing the apartment is non-waterfront and non-luxury. They promised security guards would be stationed around the clock, and an alarm system would make sure the brothers remain on site. The parents also offered to put up to $1 billion bail for their sons to get out of jail.
In case you didn't get that, it's $1 billion, as in brother, B as in brother, not million, billion. The parents offering to put up $1 billion cash to get their sons out of jail. Maybe they were going to put in some equity into that, but $1 billion bail to get their sons out and having them imprisoned in a Miami high rise. And the suffering part was that they wouldn't get a beachfront view. Ouch. That has to hurt. How dare you, mommy and daddy? Christina Arroyo, it's reminiscent of the last bid, well, the last three bids by Sean Combs to get out on bid, where he offered the judge a multi-million dollar bail package. I think it was 20 mil. And he would stay in a Manhattan townhome with his own private security guards to keep him from raping people. Eerie echo.
Right. And that's the draw, right? Exactly. I promised not to rape anybody during this time. I promised that I'm not going to have any orgies. In fact, I won't even have any women over. So that in and of itself is a huge punishment. This is the same thing that we're seeing with these brothers. And quite frankly, I don't know how much the parents can be trusted in this whole situation, because we talk about pretending to have a perfect family, but I go back to the sex bus that was sitting outside of their $40 million home as the brothers were in high school. And people have said, witness testimony, they are saying that back in those days that women in the scene, in the Miami scene, because for some reason high school brothers were in the Miami scene, they were warned not to drink any drinks that came from the brothers and to stay away from the brothers.
The Alexander brothers are accused of using their wealth and positions to create and facilitate opportunities to rape and sexually assault women. So far, more than 40 women have come forward accusing the three Alexander brothers of sexual misconduct, and investigators are asking other women who believe they have been assaulted to call. Attorneys for the brothers say they plan to plead not guilty to the charges, which, if convicted, could land all three brothers in prison for life.
As we are discussing these alleged acts, sex assaults, rapes, sodomies, that's what we're saying, reportedly date all the way back to when the real estate bros were in high school. Listen.
As news of the arrests start to spread, stories from the Alexander brothers' high school years come to light. Their history of sexual violence dates back decades to their high school days in Miami, where they bragged about several gang rapes. Prosecutors say each of the victims that the government has interviewed from this period reported hearing that individuals involved, including Tal Alexander, talked about the assaults at school, boasting about running train on their victims and saying they wanted to do it again.
You know, Lynn Shaw, as many rape and sodomy cases that I've investigated, have tried, have pled out to jail time, have covered, it's disgusting. It just makes something in you want to die to hear about them bragging about, quote, running train on the victims, which means multiple rapists on one victim, saying they, quote, wanted to do it again. It never ceases to be heartbreaking that a victim would go through this.
Well, we can't die, Nancy. We have to stand for those that don't have a voice. And I want us to focus on two things here. I want us to focus on where was Mama Alexander? We're talking about a sex bus when these trio of triplets, Dirty Diddy triplets, were parked right in front of their multi-million-dollar mansion. I'm telling you, as a mother, I knew when my kids moved a throw pillow on my couch. Where were the parents at this time and throughout all of this? The second thing I want to, and we have to talk about that, because people have to start standing up. Where were these parents? They were the talk of the town, we're hearing, you know, in the Miami, Florida area. So we should focus on that. I also want to focus on, you're not going to see their wives in court with them. Those women are taking their kids and running for the hills. One has already filed for divorce. Okay, they're going to turn evidence on them. They're beautiful young women. They have some young children, a newborn baby. They're not sticking around for this. And the third thing I want to get back to, we're not talking enough about, is that oldest brother with his security firm. There is video evidence. Where are all those videos going? I guarantee, I hope we have a forensic accountant coming along, that they have been uploaded, not only to control their victims and to scare them, they have been uploaded to porn sites where these monsters make millions and millions of dollars across the globe. And that's these are things we should be looking at.
Of course, the parents aren't charged with anything. Now, two of them, Orrin and Alon Alexander, also face state sex trafficking charges in Florida. Everybody has pled not guilty. We wait as justice unfolds. Goodbye, friend.